The Office. And the theme in this sermon series is our faith in the workplace. And so we're going to focus on that for the next 3 weeks, all out of Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to read ahead and get prepared for each week. But that opening video was our version of the popular TV series, The Office, right? So how many here are huge Office fans of that TV series? How many? I know there was got to be a few more than last service we had. It's for those of you who haven't watched The Office, it's about this workplace where it's a comedy, but in a workplace there's all these really quirky characters that's awkward almost all the time. It's actually hilarious. Really funny characters. You get a chance to watch it. It's kind of funny. But in our version, you saw in episode one today, we saw what it looks like, who we think we are when we put on different clothes. So Art really thought he was LeBron James, and Fred thought he was, whatever, he thought he was Michael Jordan. So it's like, just because they put on a jersey, they think they're somebody. But you know, the most convincing person was the guy who played the referee. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He looked like he, so, you know, in the world, it's funny how we can largely identify a person by their clothing. So like if you see a man or a woman in a business suit, we know, you know, we pretty much surmise that they are a business person. We see a law enforcement officer, a fireman in uniform. We know what they do. We see a basketball player in shorts and tank top. But today we're going to be talking about how we are seen by our spiritual clothes at work. And so we're going to delve into that subject a little bit. We're focusing on the workplace because that is where we spend most of our waking time. If you look at any study, we spend 50% of our waking hours during a work week at work. And so as Christians, it's really important we look at this time that we have, this huge block of time, and how we exercise our faith. And so, and then how do people see us who aren't Christian, who don't know Christ as their Savior? How do they see our clothes? And so a challenge for Christians is that on Sunday, we can look like one set of spiritual clothes, but it's interesting, sometimes Monday through Saturday, we look differently. And so we want to examine some of the challenges there. And so this sermon actually is for everyone. I know we're talking about the workplace, but students, hang with me. You are learning in college or high school all about work. You just don't get paid like people get trained at work. And for stay-at-home parents, you might think this is not for you. It is, because your workplace is there. Children, neighbors, your influence there. And retirees, you might think, well, I'm not working anymore. Actually, I think most everybody works out of retirement. They just work differently. So I think no matter how you see, while this is focused on the workplace, really the principles apply throughout all of our lives, no matter where we're at. So God's word gives us some insight into what we should wear each day to work. So I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's, for those maybe new to the Bible, it's way towards the back, past the Gospels in the New Testament, just past Philippians and Ephesians. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. While you're turning there, I want to mention a couple things. Often in Scripture, the metaphor or analogy of clothing is used to define our attitudes or to identify our attitudes and our actions. So a lot of times the Scripture talks about our clothing that we wear, which is really our attitudes and our actions. And so in this early letter to the Colossians, this early Christian church, Paul, an early church leader, is writing to them about being cautious of the spiritual clothes they wear, especially during the week. And so we're going to delve in that kind of here together. So let's start in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 14. So hang with me. Up here is going to be a translation called the New Living Translation, so it might be a little different than the one you're reading from. So Paul writes this, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, For a greedy person is an adulterer, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose... Now, let's back up. Let's read this part together, because I think this is really important. So let's read this part together, okay? Read with me. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. The Lord forgave you. Whoops, sorry, did I jump ahead? Yeah. Remember the Lord, hang with me. Lord, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Sorry about that. I got excited. I want to jump ahead to the love part. Got a little fast. So here's Paul talking to the early church. And now we want to kind of break these down and look at these in sections. And we talk about clothes, how we're clothing, what clothes we should get rid of, and which ones we should be wearing. For our guests, when you came in today, you got a worship guide, and we got these sermon notes on the back. This is an outline that you can use, and we're going to ready for the first sermon note right now. The first sermon note says this. This is what Paul's saying. We should dress differently for work because we are different. So put your finger right on Colossians 1, and we're going to be hanging right in 1 through 4 for a minute. As Christians, before we made our decision to follow Jesus, we were dead in our sins. And that sin separated us from God. The day we decided to follow Jesus, we were raised to new life. Right there in verse 1. Since you've been raised to this new life, which came with your decision to follow Christ. When we were raised to new life, we got these new clothes, is what the Bible describes. We're dressed new. It's this new life is like putting on these new clothes. And with this new life comes a different focus. And Paul reminds them, in this new life, he says, set your eyes upon heaven. And later on, another verse down, he says, and when your eyes are upon heaven, that is something we should be thinking about all day long. And the reason why Paul says this is that we are citizens of heaven the day we believe. Now, a lot of us struggle with that Christian saying, you know, I'm really looking forward to heaven. One day we're going to get there, and so I'm trying to be the best Christian I can be right now because one day we're heading to be a citizen of heaven. No, you are a citizen of heaven right now. Heaven, the kingdom of heaven is already here. It's not fully here. It will be fully here when Christ comes back. But right now, heaven is here, and we reflect that kingdom of heaven. We are citizens now. So while we're citizens now, we need to reflect on and reflect where we're going. We are different, so we should live different. Our old life, it says here, we died to that. We left it behind the day we believed. And what's interesting here in verse 4, it says, and our new life in Christ is hidden. Well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is Christ has went to the right hand of the Father. And one day we know He's coming back, right? And we're all looking forward to that day. Because then we will see Christ in all His glory. But it says we will also share in that glory with Him. What that means is every day we are becoming more like Christ as Christians. But we have not seen the full glory yet of ourselves. That will be revealed. So we're somewhat hidden, but yet in our growth in Christ every day, it's revealing more and more about us and Him through us. So there's the why. And so because of this new life, these new clothes, we got to make sure we get rid of the old clothes. And as Christians, when we became a Christian, we got this new clothes, we're new life in Christ. But one of the struggles we have in Christianity is we tend to like to go back and we tend to put on our old clothes. And even though we're following Christ, sometimes our clothes we like to put back on look like this. This is our old self. And sometimes some of these clothes, dirty with our old self, dirty with sin, we like to put these back on. We like to keep them maybe within arm's reach a little bit. And this is where Paul's talking about in this letter, is that we got to quit putting on this old stuff. You've got a new life. You've died to this old life. And so Paul begins to describe what these dirty clothes, these old clothes look like, so they understand this isn't what we should be wearing anymore. So let's look at sermon note number two. Our dirty work clothes reflect a worldly life. And he goes over three types of dirty clothes here. And so we're going to hit each one of those groups. So put your finger first there on verses 5-9 and follow with me. The first dirty clothes that reflect an old life is that of sexual sin. It's like, well, why is Paul talking about sexual sin first? And he gives a lot of descriptors to sexual sin. He calls it out sexual immorality, which is all sex outside of marriage. He's talking about impurity, which is lustful thoughts, unclean talk, it's jokes and actions. Lust and desire, they're kind of similar, but they're a little bit different. Lust is more action, desire is more heart, and they're both wrong. And then he talks about greedy. Now, we think greedy is like, wow, he shifted to money. No, he's actually, when you look at the context here, the greed is that I'm wanting something sexually that's not supposed to be mine by God's plan. And so that greed is covetousness. It's wanting something sexually that's not in God's design. So he hits this first thing pretty hard. Well, how does this look in our workplace? As Christians, we got to be careful of the clothes that we wear, the things that we say. Where our eyes go in the workplace is one way. But sometimes it's the jokes that we share. Sometimes it's the things that we share in social media or in emails that are a little bit edgy, but really sexually or charged. And those are types of dirty clothes that we shouldn't have. But we carry those into the workplace. Second thing he talks about, here's some other old dirty clothes, and it's wrong attitudes and evil actions. And so he shows a progressive scripture here when he talks about this in verse 7. He said, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. He says, but now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. If you look, those words are progressive. The first word is anger. We all struggle with anger. It's what we do with anger that becomes sinful. And so we see rage as a second. We think that's the other end of the spectrum. Actually, no. We think rage is, it's like I lose control type of anger. It's not. Rage is when our anger loses control, it moves to action. So rage has all kinds of levels versus the screaming, going nuts stuff. And when anger becomes sinful, it becomes how we react, especially in a workplace. It's how I go to work and I'm already in a foul mood the minute I hit the door. I walk through the door and I'm already sitting around coffee with friends at work and stuff, and I'm already raging about what's going on at work. And just that negative attitude, we walk through the door. We might be critical of others, and we're sharing that with others. We're Christians wearing these old dirty clothes. We might see a new policy that comes out, or regulation at work, and we just rage about that. It's like, oh, I can't believe it. We throw something across the room. These clothes look like this. And the third thing that Paul points towards is the issue of old dirty clothes that look like deception. The word he uses is lies, but we tend to think we don't lie because it's such a bold, outright thing. I don't bold, outright lie, but deception is a form of lying, and this is what we see more in a workplace, is that I tend to, you know what none of us like at work? None of us like getting in trouble, right? And sometimes what we'll do is we'll say a little white lie to avoid any consequences for something we did. Or maybe what we'll do is we'll take this project and we'll embellish really what the project is. We'll make it look better, and that might be feeding our pride. Or another thing is we might take numbers. You know, pastors like to always add about 10 or 20 to attendance every week and stuff like that. And sometimes we embellish those numbers because of pride. And what's interesting is we look at all these things. We look at sexual sin. You know, I think it's amazing to me when we start with sexual sin, if you go back and look at the Me Too movement, which is revealing all the sexual sin that's happening in the workplace in our nation. But you look at sexual sin, you look at wrong attitudes, evil speech, and you look at deception, small lies that become big lies, and you look at somebody who knows, who's not a believer, who knows you're a Christian, and they look at you wearing these, this is what they see in our clothes. How can you be a Christian and talk like that? And the hard thing is not so much judging you as that there is nothing that's going to draw them to the kingdom of heaven if they see the way we dress like this. They're going to say, why is that any different? And I want to be really honest here. I know that we struggle with getting rid of our old clothes. I think all of us have something we put on once in a while. I struggle with certain clothes. I still like to take off the rack once in a while. And so we look at sermon note number 3. This is a question I think some of us get frustrated with. Are we tired of our old clothes? It tells us right in the scripture, Paul shares with us how to get rid of these old clothes. And as he tells us to put to death our sinfulness. Very strong words. So if you move your finger down, we're basically going to look at verses 3, 5, and 6, where he talks about, guys, here's a way that we put to death our sinfulness. It's a way we get rid of these clothes and quit putting them on. It's a struggle that we all have. When we look, go back to verse 3, it says, here's the word death. You died to that old life the day you believed in Christ. You died to that death. You left it behind. And the second part, he comes back there in verse 5, and he says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking. It's an ugly word, lurking inside us. To put to death is a warlike, very aggressive, you look at the words here, it's very aggressive, it's kill. It's kill what's killing you. And the only way that we can do this, and we struggle with these clothes we keep putting on. We're trying our best as Christians, but these old clothes keep coming back. The only way we can do this is through the training and renewal and discipline. And we don't like those words. But they're all designed that our relationship with Christ grows. And as our relationship grows, we've got to get to the point that we hate sin. We hate it so much we won't do it. Let me give you an analogy, a simple analogy, like Kara and I's marriage. We've been married 30, 31 years. And through all those years, I think I'm getting better at not doing the things that hurt her. Because I hate those things. As we've grown in our relationship and our relationship has got deeper and more intimate, I hate the things. When I do something that hurts her, it really hurts me like never before. Not like when I was 21. And that relationship is so good, and it has so much room still to grow. But I hate the things that I do. And so is our relationship with Christ. Is our relationship, as everyday as Christians, we become more like Christ. He becomes more in us. And we get to that point, that relationship is so tight that we hate the sin we do that affects our relationship. And the only way that we can do this, and see, we're going to try to do this on our own power, but we got to be careful because it's never good because we keep grabbing the same old clothes. But through the disciplines of faith, through prayer, talking with our Lord and Savior, knowing His voice, spending time with Him every day, listening to Him, by studying God's Word, knowing God's love, the depth of God's love and grace for us. And when we read this and look at this, you know, we like to call it God's love story, you know, how far He'll go to bring His people back to Him. And we look at how much He loves us, and we love Him that much, that hatred for sin will grow. But also in discipleship and the fellowship of believers and growing together. All those things we need. But still on our own power, it doesn't work very well. But when we pray, we have a power that's much bigger than ours. When we go into God's Word, there's a power that's released inside of us. As God's Spirit dwells in us, we get the strength to hate that sin and get rid of these clothes. So God, this is the cool part. Paul doesn't leave us hanging there. He says, now this is what new clothes look like. And so let's jump ahead to verse 10 and 11. Put your finger on verses 10 through 11. God's word tells us what new clothes look like. And this is important for us in the workplace. You know what the scripture calls? The scripture calls our clothing white. several times, especially in the book of Revelations. Why does it call our clothing white? Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, he defeated the sin that holds us hostage. And when he defeated that sin and paid the price for our sin that we didn't have to, it made us white as snow. And so these are the clothes we want, the white clothes. And so sermon note number four, our new work clothes. What do our new work clothes, this is exciting, what do our new work clothes look like? So the first thing Paul tells us about our new work clothes is that it makes us all look like Christ. Our work clothes makes us all look like Christ. Well, what does that mean? So we look at 10 and 11 there. The scripture reads, it says, put on your new nature, like clothes, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. Your Creator is Jesus. Every day we grow to be more like him. And in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile. Let me back up. What he's saying is in this new life, in our workplace, we have all kinds of people. And as the people in your workplace come to know Christ, you all become like Christ, which is really interesting. As God works through you and he makes himself known to people through his son, through you in your workplace, and more people know Christ, you all become alike. Now, if you think about it in the workplace, what's the number one problem we have? What's the number one struggle we have in the workplace? It's people. It's our differences. And Paul breaks that down and says, when you become Christ and this person becomes Christ, he says, there are no more differences. And he says, there's no more Jew or Gentile. It's a different ethnicity. He says, there are no more, jump back in there. There are no more circumcised or uncircumcised. That means people that understood this religion or people, there's no difference in religion when we all come to Christ. He said, there's no more barbaric or uncivilized. Another version says barbaric or Scythian. It names a group of people. It's like barbaric people, you know, and it's like terrorists is how he is describing those two groups. That's how extreme God's love can change people in a workplace and make them all alike. That's a very profound statement. And there is no slave or free. There is no socioeconomic difference in us. The world loves to class people. The world loves to say, you don't marry this person, you don't do this, you live in this class, you don't associate with this class. Paul's saying in a very diverse church that we're all alike in Christ. And that gets rid of the problems. When diverse groups, even in a workplace, come to Christ, they're made one in him. And the second thing he talks about, if you move down to verse 12 through 14 now, our new work clothes bring the kingdom to work. Another way to say that is our new work clothes reveal the kingdom at work. Now this, guys, is really cool. Check this out. Since we are citizens of heaven today, and Christ lives in us today, we have the kingdom of heaven in us. It's revealed through us into our workplace. And so many people will say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not allowed in my workplace to share my faith. That's okay, because Paul shows you how you share your faith. And this will go through any policy from HR. And so we looked at 12 through 14, it says, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. These are what clothes look like from the kingdom of heaven. He says, starting in verse 12, he says, let me jump in here. Since God chose you to be a holy people, we read this together, a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Put these clothes on. These are kingdom clothes. Tender-hearted mercy is the kingdom clothes we wear. If you wear that clothes, you're bringing the kingdom of heaven to work. You're revealing that. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where are those clothes to work instead of the anger and all the other garbage? He said, not only wear those clothes, but make allowance for other people to screw up. Because remember, we screw up. Be patient with people. And for goodness sake, forgive people as God has forgiven you. How many times do we hold forgiveness back in a workplace? That is not a kingdom close. Forgiveness is a kingdom close. Now, look at those things. If I'm in a workplace and I don't know Christ and I see a person in my workplace who shows me tender-hearted mercy, who shows me kindness, who shows me humility, gentleness, patience, allowance when I mess up, and forgiveness, I am going to be drawn to that kingdom. And then what's going to happen to us when we wear clothes like that is that people will approach us and they'll ask us about the hope we have inside of us. Now, there is no policy anymore. It's game on that I can share who my faith is in and why I have peace and why I'm on a good journey. It's because of Christ in me. And the one thing I want for that person is Christ in them. And then they become a believer. And they choose to follow Christ and watch the kingdom move through your workplace. Kingdom is not physical ground. It is ground gained and revealed through each person into each person. And no matter what you make, widgets, whatever you do at work, sling burgers, doesn't matter. God has you there to bring the kingdom and reveal the kingdom in that place. That is eyes set on heaven and thoughts set on heaven. I'm seeing how I sling a burger or make a widget through Christ. There's a story. This one kind of reminded me when I was a director of emergency medical services, and I had a young man who I believe was a believer. He knew who God was. He knew who Jesus was. His performance at work and the clothes he were wearing were horrible. And one day I sat down with a nice 2-page written counseling that said, "Dude, if you don't stop, you're not going to be employed here anymore." It was the hardest, you know, for those of you who've been leadership, those are conversations that are very hard. But his clothes were dirty. And we sat down, we went through that evaluation, and I watched it just destruct him. I watched the anger in him. I watched the refusal. I watched to acknowledge it. I saw him just, he just crashed right in front of me. He got up. He took his copy, signed it, walked out the door. And I prayed. It wasn't that much longer, a few days, that same man come back into my office. And this guy was broken. This guy was repentant. This guy asked me for every chance to prove that he could be the person Christ called him to be. And you know what I did? I did something that HR doesn't like to do. I still had his counseling in my top drawer, and I pulled it out, and I said, "Hey, you remember this?" He said, "Yeah." You know, written counselings are like Samsonite luggage. It's like you never get rid of them, right? And I turned on the shredder, and I shredded his counseling. And he looked at me, and the first time in days, I saw a smile on his face. I had the opportunity to give mercy. The clothes I was wearing at that time were gentleness, humility, and patience. And he showed me he's willing to change. And so I showed forgiveness. And don't think, "Wow, Brian, good job." Brian did that because Brian was afforded that same thing one day at work. I was afforded that grace when I should have been fired, that mercy when I was wearing dirty clothes, the patience. I did it because my heart changed because it was done for me. And those spiritual clothes made a difference that day to him, and they still make a difference to me today. The question we all got to wrestle with when we walk out of here today is, what spiritual clothes will I be wearing Monday morning? Will I be wearing the same worship and loving and patient and merciful clothes we got here today? We all have access to these spiritual clothes. And the scripture reminds us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, not to condemn us in our sin, but to save us." And so, ushers, would you come forward? I think this is a great time to do and look at communion. And this is the thing I'm going to ask you to reflect on today, is that I think we all probably have some old clothes. And I think it's time to put these clothes at the altar. Because of what Christ did for us on the cross, we don't have to wear these. We are clothed new, and that's why we celebrate communion. That's why we remember communion, because we can take these old, ratty clothes and we can leave them at the altar. And I think that's what we need to do today. Communion remembers, we remember Christ dying on a cross, paying that price for sin, so that we all could be free and we all could have new clothes. Communion is open at Westview. If you are a guest with us today and you are a follower of Christ, we ask you, please join us. You are family here. As the ushers come around, we ask that you hold on to the juice. We're going to take them together. We're going to go to worship for a little bit. And I want you to reflect during that time of worship about what we need to leave on the altar. And we'll come back and we'll take the communion together in just a moment. Starting in verse 19, it says Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it, and he broke that bread, he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body which is given for you as a sacrifice. Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice. He died and rose again so we could die to our old life and that we could rise again new. So let's take this, remembering we're in his resurrection with him, dying to self and starting new. Continuing on, Luke chapter 22 says, after supper, Jesus took a cup of wine. And he said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed, Jesus said, with my blood. That's what we're looking at, as the symbolism of his blood shed for us. He said, my blood is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So we're going to take this together, remembering Christ's blood poured out as a sacrifice. It paid the price for our sin in full, so we didn't have to. And this gives us now God's presence in us. Now he lives in us and we live in him, and that gives us the power to not put on these old clothes and to continue to live new life every day in Christ. Let us take it thankful for Christ's sacrifice. Ushers, would you come back forward for the offering, please? As we prepare for offering, it's still worship. So let's stay in a mode of worship here. But one thing I want to request of you is we're thankfully out of summer. I know I brought this up a couple of times, but we're in a tough financial spot this week. That we need it. We need extravagant love this week. And so in the form of giving, we are actually at the point of deciding on salaries and decreasing support even more to our missionaries. Nothing's wrong. We just came out of a tough summer in giving, and we just haven't rebounded yet, and I trust. So I ask that in your prayer to God, how can we all give extravagantly so we just bounce back this fall? But I just let you know we're in a tough spot. I think it's important, but I don't want to shed any darkness on everything. Everything that God's doing to this church is absolutely amazing. But can you help us bounce back this summer? Think of an extravagant gift as God has given to us so extravagantly in his love through Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, this offering, we do. Any clothes we want to leave here on the altar today, Father, we leave on the altar today. We leave out of here stronger for new clothes. Jesus, thank you. We had no access to God. We were dead in our sins. But today, Jesus, we're resurrecting that life every day. We're rising new, an effort every day to rise new, clothe new, become more like you. And in that, in our workplace, that people will see Christ through us and the kingdom will advance. It'll move person to person. Because of your love for us, Christ, we want to show that love to others. Strengthen us to get rid of the old clothes that people don't want, Christianity, and that we only wear new clothes. Mercy, kindness, patience. Father, thank you for your Son. Jesus, thank you for all you did. Holy Spirit, fill us as we go forward today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You take our failure. You take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart.
Clothes. Amen. For some, go ahead, crab. That clap as loud as you can. That's I want to speak. There's maybe some people in the room that have never known about their old clothes and that they can have new clothes. And maybe there's somebody here today that's never really followed Jesus, never said, you know what? I need to follow Jesus. I have never made that decision. Today's that time. Today's a day that you can leave this here and start that new journey. Let me tell you two ways you can do that. One is you can fill out that connect card on your worship guide and just, you know, sometimes it's hard coming forward. And just say, give us your information. Say, would you please walk with me? I'm ready to make that decision today. And we'll walk with you. Another way is don't leave this room with this coat. And that is some of our staff will be right up here at the end of this service. Come talk to us. Don't walk out with this coat. You can have that new life today, and we'll walk with you. For others, It's like, I've decided to follow Jesus, but I've never experienced baptism. Now, baptism is not only commanded in the Bible, but it is beautiful. It is symbolically going into the water with these old clothes, being washed clean in the resurrection of Christ, and rising up new. That's gone. And you drive a stake in the ground that day that I am Christ now, and that no longer has hold on me. And if we've never done that, we have baptism classes next week. They're in your worship guide right after services for children and for adults. And we can walk with you and discuss what that is. But Christ gave us the example of baptism to follow him in his resurrection. Leave it behind and rise new. So come to that baptism class if you've not been baptized, where you've made that decision. Come to those classes, walking in September 23rd, the following Sunday. We're baptizing right here during these services. And we love new life. Amen? We celebrate new life. And we want you to know that new life. And you got a body of Christ that's going to love you and walk around you. Amen? Amen. So, we know what we need to wear. We need to wear our white this week. On Monday, wear your white. In the workplace, show Christ. Bring the kingdom. Reveal the kingdom right where you're at. And watch God work in a great way. Have a great week.